Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Sunday, June 19th. Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers that are out there listening to the show tonight. We don't have beauty news tonight, so we're just going to skip that because we want to get straight to our guest tonight. We're happy to have her on. We are speaking tonight with Pope the Barber, and let me bring her on. Hi, Pope.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on here with me. We're joined tonight by my sister, Denise. We sound a lot alike, so just don't worry about who's asking the questions. Are you there, Denise? Let's see, did I bring her on?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right. All right, I wanted to bring you on because I, like I told you before, I saw you, it was in, now I'm going blank actually, what magazine was that?
I think it was PBS. I think you showed me Salon Magazine.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And first of all, I'm just, what's the word for it? Something about just the barber industry in general. Both my sister and I are makeup artists for film and television. We work with a lot of barbers, you know, a lot of hairstylists, a lot of barbers. But it seems to me like, and you can tell me if I'm correct, but it seems to me like at least within the last few years, the barber industry has gotten a lot of attention. You know, I guess I think... Yeah, and at first I was like, maybe we just haven't been paying attention to what's going on, but I just think there's something about the industry as a whole that's, it's, you know, it's getting people's attention. First, could you just start off by just introducing yourself to our listening audience and telling us a little bit about how you got started as a barber?
All right. Well, I am Pope the Barber. This is my 10th year of barbering. Yeah, I'm opening up, well, I'm in the middle of opening up my barbershop, Vatican Barbershop in Santa Ana, California. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I've been doing this for about 10 years now. You know, I got started in high school, and I was licensed 10 years ago, but, you know, I've probably been cutting about 13, 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I've always loved cutting hair. I played basketball, and, you know, we traveled with the guys' teams, and, you know, they would always be cutting their own hair, and, you know, I thought it looked fun. So, I mean, before I knew it, I was cutting all the guys' hair in my school, you know. So, I mean, I just kind of picked it up. I didn't think I was going to do it for a living, but I love it. You know, I'm here.
So, definitely.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, what were the guys saying, like, when you first said, okay, hey, let me cut your hair in high school?
I don't know. It was kind of a joke. I went to a predominantly black school, you know, so I don't know. I mean, I played basketball. I was already, you know, the odd person out, you know, and I loved cutting hair. And I love cutting black hair, you know. It's so fun, and that's just how I learned, and it's just they just kind of were surprised, but then it just kind of became a novelty, you know, like you know, that girl that could cut hair, you know, and they were, I don't know, everybody was chilling. It's kind of just how I, you know, became, I don't know, known in school, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. So,
but, yeah.
Hope, where does that name come from?
It is my name, actually. It's my last name, but
your
I'm
last
not gonna
name.
Tell anybody my first name, even though I know you know my first name already.
Right. So, okay, so everyone calls you by your last name. You know, I mentioned a few minutes ago that it seems like the barber industry is starting to get a lot of attention within the last few years, but I'm now noticing a lot that there's this, I don't know if it's a phenomenon or what it is, but now there's a lot of female barbers, and not just female barbers, but female barbers who are actually doing it,
at a
high level.
Definitely.
And so I guess my question is the barber industry welcoming women a lot easier than before?
I think so. It was difficult for me when I was younger, definitely. And before the whole social media thing came along, I mean, I think social media has a lot to do with it, you know?
Gotcha.
You get to basically test drive your barber from pictures, you know, just like tattoo artists, you know, you get to look at their portfolio before you get a tattoo. It's the same thing with the barber, you know. You can, you don't have that 2 seconds of like, oh my gosh, who do I pick? And then, you know, a lot of the guys, you know, at the chop shops I used to work at or anything, that they, you know, a girl would be the last person until they see you cut, you know, and all that. So, you know, it kind of takes the whole, honestly, and to be honest, I actually cut hair, I guess barbered at a shop recently, and I got a taste of that again, because I felt like nobody, first of all, owned a smartphone in there. And I just, you know what I mean? I was like, you know, women can vote too. I don't know if y'all noticed, but but I got the craziest looks. Like when I was like, asking them, I was like, okay, are you next? For real. It was like, it was real bad. But yeah, I got a taste of that again recently. And I was like, you know what? And I have women that are, you know, sending me DMs and stuff or just messages being like, you know, do you have any advice as a woman in the barbering industry? And I would always be like, you know what, hard work and dedication, da 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 da, all this stuff. And of course it's true. And then I got hit in the face, you know, again with my own, you know, no matter how much hard work or anything I did, there are still people out there that are still judging.
Right.
But it is easy. It is easier, like I said, you know, just because of the social media thing. But it's just the way you put yourself out there.
Yeah. So is that actually how you actually get a male client to trust you? Is just by him seeing you cut somebody else? Is there a way, like, I mean, have you ever had a situation where a male client has come into the barbershop and you were the only barber available and you had to kind of do some convincing to get him in your chair?
You know what? I'm at a point and I don't mean, I'm not trying to sound bougie at all, but I'm at a point where I do not, I don't care. You know, if I have to prove something to you, you can go to somebody else. You know, I don't need your business, you know, I guess, but there it was before, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like before, you know, I would just be like, oh, you know, he'll see after I cut this guy's hair, you know, but now I'm like, bye, you know.
But how does that affect one's confidence? Like when you're just starting as a barber and maybe you have a year or so experience, but you know, your clientele isn't large. Like, how does that affect your confidence? Like, I can imagine it's hard.
It hurts. It hurts, you know, no matter how much somebody doesn't want to say it, it's your craft. And for me, I got to watch my mouth. I'm kind of a, you know, like, I don't have too many feelings, you know, I'm pretty deep, but, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, in the barber or, I mean, in general, but, you know, when it comes to your craft, and what you're doing, you know, somebody could say something about my shoes, da da da. But when it comes to, you know, me cutting hair or somebody in their art and anything like that, you know, it does hurt. It does hurt because, you know, you feel like, oh, well, do I have to prove myself and all this? But, you know, it comes with a little bit of confidence and time, really, because, you know, I think I've been through the roller coaster of this industry for sure. But definitely, it does. It hurts sometimes.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
What do you think?
But I guess
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, but I guess once you get them as a client, you've got them.
Yeah.
No, that's for sure. That's definitely it. You know, like that's the job of the barber. You know, it's when it comes to females in the industry, I feel like, you know, I've had a lot of guys tell me, you know, I went to this girl, you know, her haircut sucked, da 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 da, but It comes with that first look, you know, that first, you walk into a barbershop full of guys and there's one girl, you know, some people prefer women to cut their hair. Some people prefer men, but you know, it's that first kind of glance that you have to worry about. Other than that, you know, if you're good with your work, you could keep that person in your chair, you know, it's all about the experience.
Right.
Sure.
Absolutely.
What sets you apart? From other barbers, whether male or female? Is there any particular thing you think that you do that sets you apart?
I just have kind of a wide range of things that I want to do. And I feel like I'm very comfortable in the barbering industry. And I don't know. I just feel like there's another step. There's a next step in the barbering industry and the beauty industry in general, you know, and I kind of want to be a part of that that phenomenon. And I feel like I personally have that push to kind of bring it to the next level, you know. I feel like there's something extra.
Well, you know, I wanted to talk about your look because – I love when I look at your pictures, you know, there's a lot of pictures and you're in some type of red hat. I wanted to know if that had a specific meaning. You have the tattoos.
Yeah.
And you're pretty.
Thank you.
I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, cause I'm just thinking like when people talk about female barbers, are men kind of surprised when they come in the barbershop and see you for the first time? Like, that's Pope the barber. You know what I mean? Like, I just wanted to talk a little bit about
your pretty
look.
Confused. No, I mean, not confused. Well, first of all, if you don't know who Pope is, and this happens a lot, you know, Pope is kind of an odd name, so. Some people expect a guy, first of all, when they walk in. They don't, you know, either somebody's just saying, go to Pope or whatever, but some guys just come in not expecting a woman in general, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I do have a different look. I've got a big old dagger on my face, of course, and that kind of strikes people a little bit. But I feel like it kind of – gives them confidence because I look like more of an artist. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what I've heard, I think, you know. A lot of guys feel like, you know, being, you know, me saying, being a female in the industry is different, but I guess having more of an artistic look or just a look in general that, that tells people, hey, I don't work at a bank or I'm never going to work at a bank. You know what I mean? Kind of gives the client a little more, I don't know, confidence, I guess, to sit in my chair. But, yeah, people are – that's kind of always a topic of conversation, either my tattoos or my big red hat, which doesn't have too much of a significance. But I really – I love the red hat, you know. I'm actually making my own red hat for everybody to have since everybody asked so much about them. But I just thought it was – I thought it was a good look one day. And, you know, my mom, she likes – I mean, my mom's a huge fan of the big hats, you know, so I was like, hey, I'm going to rock this. She's like, oh, my God, it's so cute, and I just started wearing it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think your look is cool. I mean, and, you know, when I mentioned the tattoos, I meant that in a good way. I thought, you know, I just think it's really cool. It does give you a look of an artist, which is great. And it kind of leads me to my next question, because I wanted to – mentioned his name, but I wanted to know what barbers out there, are there any barbers out there that inspire you, you really like their work? Because when I, like I was saying, when I saw your pictures and I saw all the tattoos, it reminded me somewhat of, and it's not that he has a lot of tattoos, but and he, I think he does, but it reminded me of Rob the Original.
Yeah.
Do you know? And, you know, because he is an artist, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And
he's
like a super
artist.
Yeah, this kind of reminded me of him a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. We're actually doing a TV show or on Tev Finger together in a few weeks, actually. But he's like a real artist. You know, he does all the crazy portraits with anything you can find. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. I respect anybody I can learn something from, you know, and I feel like, I feel like anybody out there, you know, if you could teach me something, you know, I respect you like crazy. You know, I can't say that I idolize or anything, or I don't really have any role models in the industry, but I definitely, my close friends are the ones that really inspire me. I have my friend Famos, his name is Scott Ramos. He's an awesome artist and I really respect him, but he's, you know, I could call him for anything and he'll just come over, you know, especially, Diego, from House of Fades, you know, I really respect him. He's one of my really great friends too. All the Elegance guys, I love their work. I really do. And yeah, I mean, those are just naming a few, but honestly, if you could teach me something, I respect you, you know. You're my teacher.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. What do you think makes a great barber?
Definitely, you know, hone your skill set, you know, be confident in your cuts. That's one small part of it, even though it's huge, you know, but I think a lot has to do with your attitude. You know, you're meeting people every single day and it's just, you know, sometimes you got to save face, and a lot of people don't do a good job at doing that, and I don't think you're a very good barber if you can't really, I mean, I guess if you bring your attitude to work. I mean, I'm not saying I don't have an attitude. I have the worst attitude ever, you know, but in a barber-y way, you know what I mean? It's not like, I don't know how to explain it, you know, in a hairstylist way. But, I don't know. I guess just, you know, just have a good attitude and really hone your skills. Like I say, know how to talk to your customer, you know, know how to, you know, there's really not much to being a good barber, you know, besides that attitude tech, you know. I don't know what else to say. Of course, like I said, you know, like, learn your craft and everything, but, you know, learn how to take some criticism, always, always further your education, I think, and just try to further yourself. But yeah, I've met a lot of cool barbers. You know?
I think that's very important, some of the things you just said, you know, like your attitude,
yeah.
You know, continue to study, you know, your craft. And because sometimes I think attitude and personality outweighs how good you are, because, you know, you can be an average barber and your clients be satisfied, you know.
Right.
You don't have
yeah.
to be, you know, the country's best barber, but your attitude and your personality is what's going to turn some people away or even bring some people to you.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Speaking of education, how important do you think it is for barbers to have continuing education?
I think it is very important. You know, barbering has been around for so long, and I think our generation right now, or, you know, us in, as a whole, are the ones that are going to be building the foundation for everybody, because, you know, like you said, in the past couple years, it kind of blew up a little bit, but
mm-hmm.
there's not really education to really back that up right now. So I feel like, and this is my opinion, but I feel like the best education you're going to get are the barbers, you know, the lone barbers that are going out and educating other people, you know, because
mm-hmm.
you know, there's this huge issue right now as well. You know, people, even in beauty school, especially beauty school, they're learning stuff from the 50s still. You know, the books are old and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're doing things that are super outdated. I think, you know, it's important that everybody just furthers their education and learn everything from everybody. You know what I mean? But it is definitely,
absolutely.
It's huge. You know, like I said, if you could teach me something, you know, I'm super grateful, you know, not because I know everything, but I would just love, you know, teach me your little shortcut. Teach me anything that you can, you know, teach me how to be a better, you know, how to talk to people better, whatever it is, you know, it's just always having an open mind. You know, I have a friend, Brian Herson, that I teach with, and he's an old, old, old school barber from Ireland. And he's been teaching, you know, he always says, I learned how to cut 20 years ago, how I will cut 20 years in the future, you know. So he is the best, but, I mean, that's what he preaches. But honestly, he loves to learn, you know what I mean? And
right.
Even though he has that old school barbering technique, you know, or
mm-hmm.
the barber cut, you know, he tells me, you know, that he picks up from anybody, you know. He loves to learn from other people. So I think it's great to have that base of barbering, but I think it is very, very important, like I said, to just continue that education, you know. That's the only way it's gonna build into something greater.
Absolutely. Well, within the last, like, maybe 3 years or so, there was this big issue about a lot of states wanting to take away the licensing for the beauty industry, for barbers, hairstylists, estheticians, et cetera. Apparently, I guess, you know, each state, I guess, you know, as we see now, they're still licensing, so that hasn't gone through. I'm not sure if they're still trying to push for that or not. Some states think that they would bring more money to their local economy if, for instance, there wasn't a license. So, therefore, every barber or every hairstylist who's not licensed could continue to have their own businesses. For instance, if they were cutting hair in their house, you know,
right.
they could continue to do that. They think that brings more money to the economy. I don't see how, because it's very under the table if that's the case. But
right.
If they were to take away licenses, do you think that that would make a difference to, let's just use the barber industry in particular, do you think that it would hurt your industry at all?
I don't think it would hurt it too much.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, in Canada, I lived in Canada for a little bit, and you actually don't need a license to work there. And I've seen some great, great barbers and business owners come out of that. You know, I had apprentices that I taught in about 6 months, and then 2 months later they went on to, you know, build, I don't know, their own shops or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's, I think the way they're thinking about it, it's not right. I don't think it's going to better the economy. As far as your question of will it hurt our industry, I don't think so. You know, in the end, well, there might be like a huge influx of, you know, barbers, barbershops and all that. But
right. In
the end, it's all about quality and, you know, who's put in that work and put in that time and all that. And in the end, it would just, you know, everybody who put in that time and effort and knows what they're doing, they're going to come out on top. Everybody else can
right.
just try. But, you know, I don't know. I really don't think it would hurt too bad. It would be kind of chaos. You know, I'm sure
right,
there would
yeah.
be so many people just either running amok, trying to do the most, but
right.
I don't know. I've seen some really, I don't know. You know what too? I've seen some really awesome barbers come out of just not going to school at all, or just not being
yeah.
able to because what, I don't know, something they got locked up or whatever it is, you know, but
right.
probably the best barbers I've ever seen just
yeah.
because they don't have a license, you know, but I think in terms of sanitation, I think that's very important, you know, that
yeah.
we should
yeah.
learn how to sanitize everything, but
yeah.
Other
and
than
I think
that,
that's
I
my,
know.
I think
yeah.
for us, that's probably the biggest thing is the whole sanitation and all that, because sometimes I think that when certain crafts drop the license, I think people then at that point skip the education, because a lot of people automatically have the talent to, you know, craft. They have the skill, but it's the theory portion of it all, you know, that they
right.
don't have. And that's what going to school and getting certified and then going on to get, you know, a license from the state. That's what that gives you, that
yeah.
that theory portion
and
that knowledge
proud.
Of things. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're proud because you hold, you know, our certificate. You've been through
yeah.
so much. I think the schooling system, I mean, that's another story, I mean, about the schooling system, but I don't know. I think maybe it should be shortened or something like that. But other than that, I don't think too much would change in that perspective. If that makes
right.
sense.
Sometimes I just feel like the whole school portion of it all makes the client comfortable, more comfortable, them knowing
yeah.
that, you know, you went to school and them feeling like you were properly trained, you know, and just, again, for me, it's the whole sanitation thing. If you got that
yeah.
down, then, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's some people who go to school and don't really have that part to know.
Right. Yeah, that's true, too. That's true.
Right.
Now you got to learn
well,
at home. Somebody got to teach you how to clean.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, let me ask you, what inspired the barbershop?
A lot of different things inspired my barbershop. Like I said, I was living in Canada for a little bit, and I decided, you know, I wanted to come back home, and I wanted to build my own team. You know, I learned so much from traveling and from, I don't know, working everywhere, that I felt like I was just kind of ready to take a piece of everything that I learned and kind of just put it into action, you know, have a home base, you know, so
mm-hmm.
with the building of Vatican and everything, you know, I could be home, you know, and, you know, kind of change. Well, like I said, have that home base, but I feel like I could do something with the industry, you know, I feel like I could change the game in terms of barbershops. I kind of got a few tricks up my sleeve, but,
uh-oh.
Yeah. But I don't know, I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be a good thing, and I don't know. It's going to be cool. I just want you guys to see it.
I can't wait to see this. So how much longer do you think before you'll be ready to open?
A few weeks, actually. We're just waiting
oh.
on the waiting on the city, you know, and then we can finish everything up. But we're pretty much good to go as soon as we just get the normal, I don't know, paperwork and all that. And
Right.
Yeah. But it's going to be awesome.
Let me ask you this. If you weren't a barber, what would you do? What would you be doing now?
If I wasn't a barber, that's such a loaded question. Well, I think I would actually be in aeronautics. I know that sounds really funny, but before I went to barbering school, I was enrolled in like an aeronautics program, and I was going to school for that. I had a scholarship for basketball, and then I got into this car accident, and then I was like, oh crap, you know, like I can't play basketball. What am I going to do? And I told my mom, I was like, I want to do hair. And that's when I kind of, you know, came out of the closet in that way. But I think I would have gone that route, but I have such an artist mind, honestly. If I had to pick another passion, it would definitely be cooking. I'd probably be a chef, to be honest.
Oh wow.
Yeah. But in terms
wow.
of like what I would probably be doing if I didn't go to school, I'd probably go through with the whole program that I was enrolled in.
Oh, okay.
So what advice would you give, you know, young barbers starting out, or women or men who just aspire to be a barber and they just don't know how to go about getting started? What advice would you give them?
New barbers. I don't even know where to start, but definitely definitely hone those skills, you know, get used to your clippers. Just learn, find what you're good at. You know, everybody has, you know, not necessarily want a cut or anything like that. Just, you know, just find your groove, you know, whether it's, like I said, you know, you can have a, you know, mediocre cut, but you can, you know, have a great personality and just continue with that, you know. But, you know, I mean, why not have the whole package? I just feel like you should really, you know, study that hospitality and like I said, further your education and just be kind of a part of the movement that's happening right now. You know, it's a huge, not just, you know, it's a huge visual scene too right now. And it's all about using your social media and it's just marketing, you know. Okay, here we go. I got it. I'll stop beating around the bush. It's all about marketing. Market yourself right. Brand yourself. I think I asked my own question, my bad. That's what it is, though. You know, market and brand yourself. Find yourself and then put it out there and own it, you know. Own yourself.
That's right.
And
find
people
yourself
come to you.
And own it. That's
yeah,
good.
Exactly.
So what would you say extra for to the female barber?
Female barbers.
You know, you would tell her all the same things you just said, but it's got to be something more that you would say to a woman.
Yeah, I would definitely pull her aside, you know. I'd be like, all right, listen here. This industry is rough. Guys are a different creature, you know, I definitely would say more towards, you know, really, really owning it. You know, it doesn't matter. You're going to hear so much crap in the barbershop. I still get crap from my friends, you know what I mean, just being a girl.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it doesn't matter what you are, you know, male, female, no matter what color, anything you are. It's just really owning who you are. Because if nobody else can knock you down if you're confident in who you are. And as long as you know you have the skills and the confidence to back all that up, you really have nothing to worry about, honestly. But, you know, I love seeing women in the industry, you know. Like, anytime I see a girl in the industry and they're just killing it, you know, I met this one girl. She was so dope at haircuts, but she was so shy. I'm like, girl, talk a little bit, you know, add something to it. Nobody's going to know. I mean, that's awesome, you know. She's silent but deadly. She's like a little ninja, but you know what I mean? I just
right.
feel like people should, you know, get it out there, you know. Like, it's different. Oh, some guy told me the other day, he's like, it's so cool, you know, that you're a girl and you cut hair, you know, or not cut hair, but you're a barber. It's like watching a girl that likes football, you know? And I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of an interesting analogy. But he's like, no. I mean, it's just kind of cool because, you know, we have something to kind of vibe over and talk about. And, you know, it's a male-dominated industry. But if you're killing it in both sides, you know, you can't lose, really. So, I mean, just my advice to a girl would definitely just be know what you're getting into and just own what you are and just go into it, you know. Don't let anybody knock you down. That's it.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. You know, and I guess with anything, it's all about having confidence and owning it. You know,
yeah.
And not letting them see you sweat. You know what I mean?
Right.
You might be nervous, scared, or whatever, but not letting them see that. Just go in and just own it and be confident. I think that's great advice.
Right.
That's great advice. Is there anything in the industry that you haven't done? I mean, I know you're opening up the barbershop, and I know you said you have a few tricks up your sleeve as far as that's concerned. Is there anything that you haven't done in the industry that you would love to do?
I'm kind of tackling all those things right now. I made it a point to kind of make a list of the things that I wanted to accomplish in these next couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just started, you know. I always wanted to come out with a product line, and I'm actually coming out with my own pomade soon, very soon. Yes. Industry-wise, you know, I wanted to set up some cool events. I'm doing that this year too. Travel and teach, doing that
nice.
Too. I just, you know, I just want to enjoy this industry, you know, while it's hyped up how it is, you know,
right.
And just kind of do what I can to mold the future of it, especially for women,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's one good thing too. I want to make it easier for women in this industry. That's a huge goal of mine, and I'm kind of just figuring out that angle right now. But you know, I see some really, you know, heavy hitters right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, you know, please make sure you stay in touch and let us know what you have going, because we'll definitely, you know, make announcements and spread the word for sure. What do you think, or how do you think you've changed the industry since you've been barbering? What kind of impact do you think you've had on the industry?
I'm not really sure. I just kind of go with the flow, you know. I know I do things a little differently. I'm kind of like a little rogue person, but I think I set it apart a little bit because I branded myself so heavily, and I did what I could to kind of set myself apart in that way. That's why I moved away and kind of did all that, is because, you know, I found myself doing a lot of collabs, and I didn't want to get lost in everybody else's jam. You know, I just kind of wanted to move forward and do my own thing and build my own name. So I think a lot of other people are doing that too. You know, they know how to work the different angles of the industry right now. But for women, I think I've changed a little bit for women. At least I'm hoping. And if I haven't, I hope to do that in the future. But, you know, like I open up anytime somebody has any questions to ask me, if they send me a message or anything like that, I'm always, you know, very open to talk to them or give them any advice, especially as a girl, guy, whoever you are, you know. But I don't know. I think just because I dip into so many different avenues, like with the tattoos and the fashion and all that, you know, I guess that kind of just opens another realm to the whole social aspect of everything. But,
yeah,
you know, I guess yeah, I guess it's just because I take the lifestyle of being a barber and I make it a lifestyle, I guess, you know,
right.
And I like to portray that, you know, I think that's opening, you know, and all the rest of the people that are doing that as well, making their barber, you know, making it a lifestyle. I think that's kind of opening up for other people to want to live that lifestyle. I think that's why there's a huge influx of barbers too. You know, they see, you know, we live good. We're mm-hmm. doing what we love every day. And, yeah, we just go for it. It's new. It's fun.
Yeah. Do you think that the industry in Canada is pretty much the same as it is here, or are there any differences?
I think the industry is very different in Canada, for sure. You know, the U.S. is always going to be the U.S. It's the country of vanity, I think, you know.
Right.
I think it's always going to be bigger here. Anything in terms of looks is always going to be bigger, and there's going to be more competition and everything like that. I think there are great spots in Canada. You know, some of my favorite barbershops are over there. Some of my favorite hairstylists are over there, you know. But I think in terms of just, you know, our population and kind of how our industry is over here, you know, just between LA and New York and, you know, Atlanta and Texas and everything, I think we're popping out the best, you know. No offense to Canada, but
right.
I love Canada, but I think we're more popping, you know.
right. Right. Now, I know you probably attend, you know, like some of the different trade shows around the country. Orlando was one that, you know, they just had. But do you see the differences in the way men, you know, the haircuts of men in different places of the country? You know, like in California, they may be doing one thing. In New York, they may be doing something else. Have you had a chance or opportunity to kind of see that as you travel around the country?
Oh, yeah, I see that. I see it everywhere. If I didn't know where I would have been dropped in the middle of the U.S. or anywhere, I think I know where I'd be because of the men's haircuts. They're either, like, real good or, like, real not. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know some of these things existed, you know, but – I mean, I don't want to name, you know, any states like Florida. Okay, I'll just name it.
You can name them.
You know, I saw some awesome, I don't know, that Caesar, that Dumb and Dumber, that was dope. I saw a few of those in Florida. That was cool. Cali definitely has a different swag. We're all about kind of the, you know, the heavy tapers and fades and the slick parts and all that, but you know, it's a community too, like, well, with Florida. And, you know, a lot of the Latinos have the nice little thin lines and all that, really crisp, clean cuts. You know, you definitely know you're in Florida in that sense. you know what I mean? But,
yeah,
I see all the different haircuts. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool to see, though. But, it's mostly the bigger cities that are catching on to the haircuts that are in right now. And when I say in, I just, you know, what's big on the internet and what we're kind of slinging right nowadays.
Yeah, let me ask you, like, how did that start? You know, like there's a cut that's new, that's popular, and people will start catching on to what's new. Like, who creates the new? Is it, you know, like maybe a famous barber? And then other people start to catch on. I'm like, who? Okay, so it's somebody does something and everybody catches on.
It's like that. It's kind of like that. So one of the guys that I was talking about earlier, Famos, like he created the 4 a.m. fade. And it's kind of like it's like two horns doing like a yin-yang. So there's like a horn, you know, kind of like a point coming down and then, you know, the opposite way coming back up. But it's faded both ways, you know, like I'll have to, you know, send you a picture or something like that. But he created that, and it's all about how you drop it, how you brand it and everything. It's called the 4 a.m. fade. He dropped it at 4 a.m. and you know, the rest was history. I mean, it's such a, it's an awesome cut. It's like a statement cut. It's easy to do, but it's the way, you know, if it's done right, it's amazing, you know? So that's just, you know, one of the examples of the cuts that are coming out. But it's just, you know, like I said, barbering, you can't do too much with a men's cut. You know, there's mm-hmm. there's not too much more to do besides
right.
putting in lines and everything. Like, you know, when somebody sees something new in the industry, it's like, ooh, you know, everybody's got to jump on that and do it the best.
Right.
And, you know, some right. people do, some people, you know, have contests and all that. You know, they'll give things away and all that. You know, it's, like I said, it's all about that branding. But if you got a hot idea and you know how to work it, you know, you could have, you know, thousands of people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about social media. That's where it's all popping.
It really is. It really, really is.
Yeah.
Have you noticed from social media, because like with makeup artists, you know, when we look at social media, especially Instagram, and, you know, the one big thing in our part of the industry that kind of turns a lot of us off is the big block brows or, you know, just certain things like all of the heavy contouring that artists want to do. Is there something that barbers notice on social media, like, for instance, Instagram, that just kind of, you know, in the industry you all are like, no, we don't want to see that. We don't want that.
I think the over, like, beijing cuts
mm-hmm.
are a little crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are getting a little too cray-cray, you know, like when people don't
yeah.
have beard. It's cool. I like it, and sometimes it's necessary for, like, a picture or if you have an event or,
mm-hmm.
you know, anything like that, but, you know, you got to learn how to use that, you know. It's all,
yeah.
just like you're fading, you got to fade that beijing in and out. It's not cute when it's all dark, you know.
Right,
what
right.
about? It's horrible.
What about? What about? Like, because I don't know what did you call it? Beijing.
Yeah, beijing. It's like it's a really, really semi-permanent hair dye, pretty much, and people
oh, gotcha.
Use that for, say, the corners of the hair or your
gotcha.
Beard, or you know, yeah.
Gotcha.
That.
What
I don't
about
like
the hair flock, the flocking with the fibers?
The hair what?
You know, like the hair fibers?
Oh,
have
yeah.
you seen that before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go overboard with anything, honestly, but I think it's awesome, you know, like especially for balding men or anything like that. That's,
right.
I mean, I think it's necessary for sure. And they make it good now. You know, it used to be just where you'd sweat and it'd just come down your face and it's like real embarrassing,
right.
but it's
right.
It's getting real cute now.
Right.
Oh, God. But, yeah, you can.
You know what I'm talking about, too.
Yes, I do. I've seen it all. Trust and believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trust and believe. It's crazy, but you know, the industry it's a beautiful thing. I'm just kind of happy to see what's really going on. Have you ever competed in some of those, you know, like those barber competitions or barber battles?
No, actually, I don't really do the competitions. You know,
mm-hmm.
I like them. I think it's cool, but I've only judged and
mm-hmm.
Kind of taught and all that, but. Yeah, no, I haven't actually. I've done a few small ones when I was younger, but I all the big ones that have been happening, I don't really do those. I just kind of judge them or go to them or network and all
mm-hmm.
that, but I don't really feel the need to. I feel like,
yeah,
you know, it's, you know, I'm not really competitive in that way.
Right.
Really, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. So how many chairs are you going to have in your shop?
It's actually going to be small. I'm going to have four. Yeah.
Very
it's going to be, it's going to be small, but it's going to be cool. It's all white inside. I got my cool little chairs and my Tupac art everywhere. And,
yeah.
You know,
I saw that.
We're ready to go. Yeah.
And I was like, she was definitely a fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's nice. Are you going to implement anything in your shop that you maybe picked up in your travels or your stay in Canada?
Oh, yeah. Everything, you know, like I said, you know, everything that I have kind of learned traveling, whether it's like a business tip or, you know, just an idea that I had, you know, visually, it's, you know, that's all just experience that's going to be dropped in my shop. You know what I mean? I just, I want people to feel, you know, I want it to be classy because it's so small. I definitely chose my furniture and everything very wisely. So they're, you know, pretty nice little pieces, but it's going to be simple. But the small little details that you'll see are definitely from not here. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Or here, you know, you never know. I, you know, I'll always be a West Coast kid, but, you know, yeah, from traveling, I'll definitely, I picked up a lot from a lot of other people.
Right.
Sure.
Now, how are you going to, I'm assuming, you know, that you travel some as far as, you know, teaching. How are you going to balance being a barbershop owner as well as a barber working in the barbershop, but yet you have coming a product line? I'm sure you're going to continue to teach, you know, at some of the different shows or whether you do classes or events. How are you going to, and I ask this for the beauty entrepreneurs that are listening, how are you going to balance it all so that everything gets done? Have you
yes, of course. Everybody asks that, but I'm pretty good at it. You know, I'm the happiest and I work the best when I'm busy. My mind goes 1,000 miles per hour. So I work well under pressure and, you know, time. I know how to, you know, with my time and all that. And I also know how to delegate my work sometimes, you know, it's very important.
Smart.
You know, I've definitely thought all that out, especially with my product line and all that. You know, it's not just going to be me. I'm going to have a few other people in on it with me. Not partners or just more so, you know, people handling. Yeah, all my projects are different entities to me. So I have kind of a team working on each thing, but it is a lot. I think the hardest thing for me is going to be definitely being in the barbershop and traveling. This shop is going to be my baby. And I know that I'm, you know, for at least a couple of years, I'm probably not going to have any breaks in general, but you know, I want to be here as much as I can. So if that means maybe traveling less, then I will be doing that. But I have a great team, even though it's small. You know, my manager that I'm going to have there is one of my really good friends. So we already talked about that, you know, when I'm traveling, who's going to man the fort. And, yeah, like I said, all my little projects, I have kind of a team behind it all. So,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's key, basically, just making sure you put together teams of people that can get the job done and teams of people that you can trust. You know, if you step away from
right.
it, you're confident and comfortable with what's going on.
Yeah, and that was a huge thing coming back is I really wanted to pick a good team because I had the opportunity to come back home and, you know, I really could pick anybody. You know, I didn't have any unnecessary people in my life that I had to, you know, wean out or, you know, anything like that. I just came back and I picked the people I wanted to deal with and now we're just moving forward with it, you know, and I think it'll be cool. I think it's all going to work out for sure.
Absolutely. That's good. That's really good. Well, shout out all your, where people can find you on social media so they can follow you.
All right. I'm Pope the Barber down the line, honestly. Anything, any social media, it's just Pope the Barber, straight one word. Instagram, Facebook, I'm Pope, and then the Barber is my last name on there. And Snapchat, you guys you know, if anybody follows Snapchat or anything, I'm also Pope the Barber, but you'll get to see, you know, my non-business, my whole entire life on there pretty much. I'll be running up my data on my phone on that thing.
For real.
And it's the T-H-E Barber.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, P-O-P-E-T-H-E-B-A-R-B-E-R, Pope the Barber.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so, so much. I'm so happy you were able to come on. I really enjoyed the conversation. We'll continue to watch and follow and see what's new with you.
Yes, thank you guys so much for having me. That's cool.
Absolutely. When you get that product line out, let us know so you can come back and talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to. I'll get up with all my little projects, too.
Okay,
oh, perfect.
Cool.
All right.
Cool.
Well, thank you guys
all
so
right,
much.
Thanks again. You're all welcome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye. You too.
And if I could just take a few minutes really quickly. I know we didn't do beauty news at the beginning, but I just wanted to give some quick news really quickly because I know we have listeners from all over the world, and I just wanted to put this information out. Out there. I'm a little excited about this, but the very first Ghana Makeup Awards to be held in August. The Ghana Makeup Awards to be held in August. Makeup Ghana has announced that it is launching the first Ghana Makeup Awards, which will take place in August 2016 at the La Palme Royal Hotel in the capital city of Accra. The awards will honor industry pioneers and emerging artists alike, as well as makeup brands and retailers. There will be 15 categories ranging from Makeup Artist of the Year to Most Promising Ghanaian-Owned Brand. The ceremony will be the third event in a series by Makeup Ghana aimed at promoting and celebrating best practice in the industry, reports Elanaja.com. The mission of Makeup Ghana is to connect makeup artists and brands to form a community and promote the industry. The nomination process began June 15th and ends on June 30th, and nominations can be submitted through Makeup Artist Magazine's website. So you go to makeupmag.com, and then you will just look for industry news, and you will see the post on the Ghana Makeup Awards, and you will be able to submit. Right there, there's a link to actually submit, so you can go through makeupartistmag.com. And then also briefly, the makeup show had its very first makeup show pop-up shop here in the Atlanta area this weekend, which seemed to me, in my opinion, to be very successful, especially for, you know, testing the waters with a pop-up show in a brand new city. I think it worked very well. Most of the vendors were talking about how it turned out for them, and everybody seemed to be pleased. Of course, you know, you had more people on Saturday than you did today, Sunday being Father's Day and also just being Sunday. But there were a lot of professionals who showed up in at the show, and I think everybody had a good time. I attended the show both days and had a really good time just walking around, visiting with some of the vendors that I was very familiar with, and, you know, being able to test products and things like that. So I think it was a huge success. We had James Vincent on the show last weekend, and we spoke to him about it. And, you know, so hopefully, James, thought it was a success as well and able to just bring the makeup show to the Atlanta area.
All right. I hate I missed it, but I picked that weekend to go out
money.
Of town. But well, see, then I guess it wasn't bad that I missed it. But yeah, like you said, it seemed like it was successful, so maybe they'll bring it back again next year.
Yes.
So we'll just have to wait and see. But in the meantime, again, thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Thank you for those who are listening live. Thank you for those who are going to listen on the playback. Thank you for those
who are going to be listening from around the world, in Nigeria and London, Australia, Ghana, and all of those places. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next Sunday, 9 p.m., with a new guest, a new inspiring guest. Again, thank you to Pope the Barber who joined us tonight. Really enjoyed the conversation. Really excited about what she's doing and the impact that she's making in the barber industry and what that's going to mean for female barbers. There's a lot of female barbers out there and a lot of good ones, a lot of popular ones. So for those of you who are women and you're just starting out, you want to be a barber and you're just starting out, just be encouraged. It may not be the easiest thing, but it's very, very possible. And with that, thank you guys again for your support. Have a wonderful night and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.